coach of Sydney about that very matter, perhaps right off the top. We shouldn't forget, John, that it was a very important and impressive win. 30 scoring shots to 15 after you gave them a start with your poor kicking early. You won by 35 points. But are you aware that a message has been delivered to players and others at the club that perhaps the lip is to be buttoned on this issue, which obviously will be dealt with by the AFL's judicial layers?
G'day, Tim. G'day, everyone. No, I wasn't aware. We understand it is a difficult situation that once a player gets reported, you can't say a lot. It's also very difficult when you've got a room full of media straight after the game and have free and open access to all players, and players are obviously protective of teammates, and it's very difficult to have it both ways.
Have you got a considered reaction to the incident the morning after?
Well, my considered reaction is the AFL are very sensitive in regards to what we need to say and what I'd like to be able to say about it, and so that restricts you automatically. And clearly, obviously, if they've spoken to the club, they've got a very strong view on what you can and can't say before the tribunal.
Some people have said it's time for a send-off rule in AFL. What do you think of that?
Well, there is two parts to it. One is, obviously, he's only a second-year player, Callum, and a terrific young kid. And the other part to it is, we lost a player sort of 3:50 into the game, and you're one down for the entire game, and they're not. And it is a challenge. I think it needs some thought when there's things sort of gone out of the whole situation to consider what we could possibly do in the future, because one down and we got Daniel Henneby with a bad cork, and then you're two down and they're not. So it does. Well, I don't think we even got a free kick or a 50-metre penalty. In fact, I think we got a free kick against immediately after that incident, which, it was a bit disappointing.
John, on being that one down, obviously a few years ago, the sub situation was brought into play so that if there was an injury or even an event like any event, really, that one player down, you still got the same amount of active players. I must admit, I always thought it was a fairly logical rule, but players and coaches hated it.
Yeah.
So on that basis, if you had a sub, you would have ended up at least the same number of active players.
Yeah, that's true, Lee. I mean, I was one of the ones actually at the time that wasn't a huge supporter of the sub, mainly because there was a lot of angst in regards to the sub, and the players didn't like it. You said, okay, you're the sub this week. You almost had the roll of the eyes, and particularly if they did it for a couple of weeks, you had to rotate the player in the sub, and then they had to go back to the reserves if they were sub for 2 or 3 weeks in a row and get some match conditioning. So there was a whole new element in management in regards to managing your team from week to week, and the players certainly didn't like it. And an incident like last night, you sit there and you think, well, we are one short for the majority of the game because of something that we didn't do. It makes it a challenge, but I don't think there's an easy fix to it.
Before we get on the game a bit, and a question without notice, could you have, for instance, the sub situation being in the finals but not in the home and away series? So at the pointy end of the season, you have an extra player who is a sub, so both sides could lose one and still be equal in active numbers.
Maybe it's worth considering. I mean, we did have a player there as an emergency. We always have an emergency, particularly to away games, and they're sitting there in the grandstand fully fit, and you've got a player obviously sit there ruled out with concussion. I mean, that's something to consider. I think it sort of needs to be done when the whole thing settles down a little bit and sort of have a really considered discussion about it.
Hey, John, I saw you walking out to your quarter-time huddle, but you were for about maybe 5-6 seconds, you were staring straight towards the Melbourne huddle. How angry were you, and were you trying to lock eyes with Tom Bugg at that stage?
No, I wasn't trying to lock eyes with Tom Bugg at that stage. I mean, there was no point. When you see, as I said, a young second-year player have that happen to him, it was really disappointing. And, as the AFL have made really clear this morning, I can't say much more about it.
Have you got a bulletin on Callum this morning, John?
No, I haven't at this stage, Tim. No, I'm not sure how he is today.
How was he by the end of the night?
He said he was okay. He'd say that no matter what he had wrong with him. So he just said, I said, how are you? And he said, okay. And and was on conversation after the game with him. He just said he was feeling okay after the game.
John, back to sort of last night's game in itself. I mean, you have had good inside 50s and a lot of scoring shots, inaccurate. But the game, the forward field position that you developed, the ball just seemed to be in your forward half for the majority of the game, even in your forward 50. Melbourne flooded back heavily, but when they kicked it out, they just had no one to kick it to. Is that the way Melbourne normally play? Like, when you scout them, did that look of the game set up as has happened previously with them?
Oh, they do a set of bounces, Lee. But they normally reset after centre bounces, and that's what they usually do. But it happens to all teams. If you're able to get the momentum out of the centre appearances in particular and get the ball into your forward half, and even if you're kicking points like we were, if you're set up well and structurally well behind the ball, it can be difficult to get through. And particularly if you're feeling as though you're getting scored against, often what happens is the forwards push up the ground further and further. It happened to us a couple of weeks ago against the Tigers, and you lose some of your structure forward of the ball, which means it's actually hard to get the ball out. And it probably happened to Melbourne last night, not through planning, just what happens during the course of the game.
On that basis of you having McVeigh back, who's a really experienced defender, to help the setup behind the ball, is that, we saw it with Luke Hodge and Hawthorne last week the audio we had, is that a great value of the really experienced defender?
It certainly does help. I mean, we've got a couple of players in Nick Smith and Heath Grundy, obviously with experience, Dane Rampey in our back line as well. And we've got a few young ones there too, with Callum and Lewis Mellican and a few other younger kids that rotate through there. But there's no question that Jared sees the game extremely well. And he's a very smart player. He's probably one of the smartest players I've coached. And when he sits behind the ball, he's able to help get the structure right. And that certainly does help.
John, goal-kicking aside, where do you rate last night's performance in regards to the Swans' best performances of the year?
Well, it was good, Lordy, in regards to... We played a really good team last night in Melbourne. They were certainly short of personnel. They had some injuries and had a lot of six-day breaks, which does add up. However, we can only do what we can do, and we were really pleased with the contested ball element. They're a really strong contested ball team. We did really well in that area, and we were able to keep enormous pressure on and cause turnovers, particularly early in the game. So, that was a really pleasing part of the game. We were happy with how we played.
John, going into the game, I was looking at, have you got now your best side, the best Sydney side that you could possibly put out there? And I count Allaire and Kurt Tippett into that as well. Are they now in your best 22?
Oh, well, we're sort of, Allaire missed last week with injury and has been flicked a couple of times this year and has just gone out because of injury or didn't turn up to training one stage. Kurt's actually out and will be out again next week, we'd expect. And Harry Cunningham's probably another player that has a really good and important part in our team. So there's probably, there's always three or four in each club that or each team that's probably missing. And we think at our best that some of those guys have been in our best team. But at the moment, they're not for whatever reason. And the blokes that have been there have been going quite well.
John, Alex Johnson hasn't played in the AFL for 4 years, but as we speak, he's running out of the knee full in Canberra. It's a great story, and hopefully it gets even better from here.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. I'll just hopefully all goes well today with him, and he gets through the game okay, and he just feels good about himself. I mean, he's gone through some extremely tough times. I mean, to have five knee reconstructions and some of the infections that he's had in his knee has been a real challenge for him. And to be able to come through that and get back to training and get a bit of a taste of football again today is fantastic for him. I mean, he's a terrific fella.
Just on another matter, all the coaches, or 10 coaches, met at Gillon McLaughlin's during the week. I don't think you were there, but as a result of it, they changed a rule and the shot clock is now back for the last 2 minutes of quarters. Were the other coaches consulted on that before it was announced?
Not that I know of. No, it's a bit hard for the interstate clubs to get to Melbourne during the week. It can be tough for the clubs outside of Melbourne to get down there. And no, we weren't. In short,
are you glad they did change it though?
Oh, look, I think it makes sense. I mean, it doesn't. It didn't make a big deal. Wasn't a big issue for me personally. So I think in the end they probably would have discussed it, and I'm happy with their call.
How do you feel the deliberate out of bounds rules being handled into the second half of the season?
Oh, I just think you need to have a really good feel for it, Tim. I mean, we had one played against us last night with Gary Rowan, and I thought he was a little bit stiff, to be honest. I mean, You just have to have a feel for what the players are trying to do at times. And didn't think Gary was deliberately trying to, or was, you know, other do anything other than trying to keep the ball in play and get after the ball himself.
Just finally, John, before you leave us, we interviewed you on a Saturday afternoon before you played Carlton in round five. You'd lost four. And I think I'd put to you that if you lose today, the season's virtually gone. And I don't think you disagreed very strongly, but things have changed a lot. Is there a particular issue that you feel is at the centre of the turnaround? Because it has been dramatic.
Yeah, well, it's the controllables and the uncontrollables, Tim. The uncontrollables are the players that we knew were underdone or out of the team. Mostly they were senior players, and then we lost Heaney and Rampy and a few other guys. And so we knew that the season was going to be a tough start for us. It certainly turned out to be tougher than what we thought, and took a bit longer to turn around than what we thought. But so the personnel stuff has certainly changed, but also our brand of footy's sort of returned, and you know, that's come on the back of some personnel, but just a bit more hardness around the ball and a bit harder to play against when the opposition's got the ball. That's been the real key.
Thanks for joining us, and good luck.
Thanks, guys.